Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As our custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures concerning today's matter. We want to start with the book of 2 Kings, the chapter 3. We are reading from the verse 1 to 20. And with this situation, you have to take your own Bible now, whether electronic or hard copy. Then we all read together. I'll be reading from the New King James version. Amen. And I'm hopeful that the recording will be good. Because. Now, Jeroboam, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and mother, for he put away the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin, and did not depart from them. Now, Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and he regularly paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and wool of 100,000 rams. It happened when Ahab died that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. We are going a very long ride, so follow me. You're going to enjoy it. We hardly do this kind of long journey, so today we're going to have that long journey. So the king Jeroboam went out of Samaria at the time and mastered all Israel. Then he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?" And he said, "I'll go up. I am as you are. My people are your people. My horses are your horses." Then he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "By the way of the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here, who that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." But the king of Israel said to him, "No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I will not look at you nor see you. But now, bring me a musician." The King James Version said, "Bring me a minstrel." Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. You shall not see wind, nor shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that your cattle and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand, and also you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut them down every good tree, and stop up every spring of water, and ruin every good pieces of land with stones. Now it happened in the morning, when the grain offering was offered, that suddenly water came by the way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. This is the word of the Lord. It seems you don't like long readings. Okay. Our second reading is in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 25 to 26. This is going to be short. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 26. Are we there? Are you with me? Oh, please let me hear you. Are you with me? But when? I am at Acts 25, because I said 25. Forgive me. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. The last reading is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the verse 32. We are reading together, and I hope you are ready. In the New King James Version, can we go? And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Can we take it again? And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. Hallelujah. It pleases the Lord that today, as we have gathered, we still continue on the matter of the anointing. Are thou anointed? We are still on the sub-series, Streams of the Anointing. And today's message is titled, But Now Bring Me a Minstrel. But Now Bring Me a Minstrel. And I want to start today's message with our first reading, which brings to light our main focus for today, which has to do with another two major strings of the anointing. I believe by now you are not new to the concept streams of the anointing, because we have tackled some few aspects of it. So I don't think there will be much recap needed to get you along with what we are doing. If you are not able to follow, I will entreat you to go and then stream the messages or listen to the messages to be able to align with it. Hallelujah. So, in our first reading, we noticed that there was a very interesting account in the Bible where King Jehoshaphat's associate called King Jeroham, the son of King Ahab, went to look out or went together in the company of King Jehoshaphat to meet the prophet. Now, from all indications, you can see very well that the prophet do not even want to have an eye contact with this king of Israel. And the reason being that he is the son of King Ahab, and you need not to be told the story of Ahab's family with the master of what? Elisha. Do you want to be told the story? It was this very young man's mother who threatened the prophet of God that may God also do to me also tomorrow by this time if I don't make you like one of the prophets of Baal that you slaughtered. And the Bible said the most anointed man who could call fire forgot that he has an anointing on him. The Bible said he took for his life and he ran. So the master who was a victim of the wickedness of the mother, and it was Elisha also who prophesied the death of what? The mother. Here you are, the son came and he was seeking to receive something from the prophet of God. And from all indications, the prophet didn't want to see him. But something interesting happened over here. You found out that because he was in the company of somebody called Jehoshaphat, who was in the good books of the prophet, he said, because of him, I will consider your situation. So sometimes, we need to find people who are in good books of other people. Are you with me? It's a very interesting story. When I was reading, I said, oh, wow, this is very important. This is social capital. The guy was smart. He knew that as long as Jehoshaphat is with me, even God himself, he will force the hand of God to what? To talk. So he really traded on his social capital. So quick, you find out that the reason why they have to see Elisha was a matter of life and death situation. You all agree with me, right? That they have journeyed 7 days without water. And there is no way that by human nature we can do away with what? One of the life essentials, which is what? Water. So from our reading, we can also establish that this life and death matter came from an unexpected situation which they encountered on their way, that on their way to war, forcing the hand of the king to seek a higher knowledge beyond human capacity. So we found out that from the scripture we read, they did a lot of findings and they decided the best routes that can lead them to the war. Is that not it? Because the Bible said Jehoshaphat asked the king of Israel, by which way will you go? He said, this route is best. It means that scouting were done. They believed that all essentials needed for war, which includes water, food, and strategy, let me say advantage, were all put into consideration. But unfortunately, on their way 7 days, they found out that all the things they looked out for were not there. So here, the king of Israel concluded that after all our findings and conclusion, that this is the best way, and that now we come and we find out that this way is not what we should have used, means that God has delivered us to the hands of what? Our enemy. So it was a very dire situation. And because of how the situation was, human knowledge and wisdom has failed. But the company of Jehoshaphat, who is a man who has believed in God and has walked with God over the years, notice that there is a need to seek for higher knowledge. There's a need to go beyond human capacity and then seek the higher knowledge to deal with the situation at hand. I want you to follow me. So I'm building up on the story that we can be able to go through it very well. So you see that the king desired that he would get this information which can help them to know for sure whether or not they are in trouble. Therefore, the question he asked is that, is there not a prophet over here that we make an inquiry? The Bible said, they told him that there's a prophet called Elisha. So the long story short, he summoned Elisha. When Elisha was summoned, something interesting happened in the verse 15. The verse 15 of the second book of Kings chapter 3. In the verse 15, something very strange happened there. Watch. I want to read it. Okay. In the verse 15, you find out that when Jehoshaphat requested for the presence of the prophet, and they were seeking to hear from God, even both the king of Israel were all seeking to receive that divine knowledge that could conclude or let them know the situation at hand, the prophet requested something. He requested for the presence of what? A minstrel. So in attempt to deliver the demands of the king, we found out that two things happened over there. Number one, there was a request for what? A minstrel. And then when the minstrel began to minister by playing the instrument, the Bible said the hand of the Lord came upon the prophet. Now, this attempt to deliver the kingdom service that Elisha was procured for, we can see from this story that two streams of anointing were invoked. That is number one. The atmosphere creating, which we popularly know as praises and worship, was invoked, and a person who had the capacity to do that, called a minstrel, was engaged. And the moment that atmosphere was created by the deliveries of the minstrel, the prophet was able to minister. So we saw the prophetic anointing also released. So today, this incident gives us an indication of how two strong streams of the anointing came together to deliver a kingdom service to people who needed it at most. So today we are going to look at it and see how it's very important in our dealing. Amen. Are you with me? So the whole reason of our first reading is to establish the fact that there is a flow of an anointing that is called praises and worship. Leading praises and worship. If there's a flow of an anointing in that regard, that is able to create an atmosphere for another flow of anointing to have effect. And this is one of the indicators, one of the best picture I can paint for you from the reading we have made. So now let's look into it. Now, before we zoom into these two streams of anointing, I want to first of all establish a context through a short recap from last 2 weeks' message, which is, whenever we speak about the streams of the anointing, follow me very well. The most important thing that we have to look out for is what the expression of the anointing, which is the stream, is to accomplish. In the book of Acts chapter 10 verse 30, we found out that the Bible said, how God has anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with what? Holy Ghost and what? With power. What happened next? We saw the expressions of the anointing. The Bible said he went about what? Doing good and what? Healing they that were what? Oppressed. So anytime we are looking at the expressions of the anointing as a stream, which is the stream that flow, the most important thing to look out for is the things that they come to what? Accomplish. So from last 2 weeks, we saw that on the verdict of the teaching and the preaching anointing, we saw that the preaching anointing, when it comes to play, what it does is that it's able to compel people and draw people to Christ for salvation. And with the believer, it's able to fire us up to live or to what? To take actions of what? Godly what? At works. So without preaching, it is very impossible for believers to what? To respond to what? Godly actions. Do you agree with me? So anytime we see the streams of the anointing regarding preaching flowing, it's either people are being drawn, multitudes are drawn into the kingdom, as in the life or as in the ministry of Philip, the evangelist. Or we see that people are being exalted, fired up to live godly lives through what? Preaching. What about teaching? We notice that with teaching establishes people on precept. That is, teaching helps us in grounding people. That is on the concept of what? Understanding. Precept upon precept, to the point that the individual will not be tossed by any wind of what? Of doctrine. So if a teaching anointing is being expressed at a place, one of the things you're going to see is that the people are grounded in understanding. They are not living a life of confusion. Understanding is light. Understanding is where you see people having clear purpose, clear path. They know what they are doing, and there is nothing you can say that can be able to change their mind or their course of action. Are you on the same page? Now, these two that we are coming to talk about today too, hopefully, if we should be able to finish, it's not an exemption to this rule. We need to know what exactly does the act of worship and praises as an expression of an anointing offers to the body of Christ or an individual or to the church. And the prophetic anointing, what it offers, so that when we see the flow or when God wants to flow through us in those dimensions, we should know what we are bringing or the services or the blessings we are bringing to other people. Because the Bible said, out of our hearts shall flow streams of what? Living waters. So we want to see the expression of life that these ones give. Are you with me? Amen? Okay. So now let's go into our main streams that we looked as established on our first reading. Now, we want to start with the atmosphere creating or praises and worship what? Leading anointing. Now, the first thing I want to say is that atmosphere are key determinant of what you can assess, receive, or engage at a particular place at a particular time. I want you to write it down. I'll explain this later. And I want to move into some quick definitions. Now, let's look at this. By definition, literally, we know that an atmosphere is a layer of gases that surrounds the earth. the moon and other earth, planetary earth bodies, a mixture of what? Gases. Now, the functions of the atmosphere is to protect life by blocking harmful radiations. Number two, regulate temperature through greenhouse effects. This is simple science. Support weather and climate system, provides breathing air on earth. This is what the essence of why God created the atmosphere. Are you following me? Now, so I want you to see how I'm going to link this physical atmosphere I'm talking about. Now, another important thing we have to know is that scientists have told us that this atmosphere is made of layers of what? Gases. And these layers of gases has their various quantity of certain gases that defines what they do. So from the scientific projections, we have five layers of atmosphere. Can you give me one? One is what? Stratosphere, right? Another one is what? Good. You took your biology, geography class serious. You have done well. Clap for yourself. You did well. Hey, I thought you forgotten your geography. So there are layers of gases that forms what we call atmosphere. Whenever we mention the concept atmosphere, we say we are creating an atmosphere, right? So when we talk about an atmosphere is being created, literally we are talking about layers of gases. Literal definition. However, let me help you. Beyond all telescope and human eyes and sophisticated machines, in exploring atmosphere that we have defined, lies spiritual forces within the layers of the atmosphere we physically see that superimpose itself on the physical atmosphere to affect things on the earth. This spiritual atmosphere or spiritual residence in the atmosphere that we don't see, we call them the heavenly places. And the scripture I want us to read is in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the verse 2 and 4. Let's read it. The verse 2. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in body I do not know, or whether out of body I do not know, God knows, such one was caught up to what? The third heavens. So it is out of this scripture we know that this atmosphere that we see physically has a spiritual representation that are of three layers. By this we know at least he said the third heavens. The first, the second, and not the third. Are there other further proof of this very thing I'm talking about? Yes, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, the verse 12. Very popular scripture, we all know. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, one, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in where? Heavenly places. So these physical layers that we see as gases, be in it beyond our physical korokoro eyes and all forms of machines that we have, in it are spiritual layers too, called out heavenly places. Now these spiritual layers superimpose themselves on these physical layers to cause or determine happenings in a place. That goes back to the definition I gave. That's why I said that an atmosphere, you remember the forces of atmosphere, that they regulate climate. So you know that it's an atmosphere, the job of an atmosphere to determine the layers of the atmosphere. We know one of them is to make sure that the ozone layer, what is the ozone layer, right? It prevents radiation and everything. So they regulate what happens at this place. So the atmosphere around Boko, in terms of physical climate, is different from the atmosphere in Accra. Because if you go to the northern side of Ghana, you realize that the climate condition over there, as determined by the atmosphere, is very hot as compared to this place. Are you following me? So those physical qualities that atmosphere offers to us to make sure that living is possible, I am telling you that there is also a spiritual one that interplays in the activities of the physical one that determine things over here. Therefore, the concept of atmosphere is very important. Are you with me? Do you get it? Therefore, Every physical atmosphere we can behold has an invisible spiritual atmosphere that influences what happens in the physical one. So when you get to a place, the physical atmosphere you are beholding, I want you to know, you see, one thing about the concept of atmosphere which is very important and very dangerous is that no matter what, you are affected by the activities of an atmosphere. Whether you partake or you didn't partake, whether you like or you don't like, as long as you are here, if it rains, you'll be here. Whatever happens in this place, you are a victim of it. I saw a picture yesterday. I know I've been saying this, I'm a great football fan, so I saw a picture of Ellen Haaland. And he said the Miami Sun is teaching him a lesson. You can see that he's burning. Because where he is and where he's coming from, is it Norway, right? He's from Norway. And Miami, the weather conditions there are very different. So you could see that the man is literally what? Burning. I watched an interview of one of the Black Star players. He's in France now. I want to remember his name. He's very funny. Ali Ducielo, thank you. And remember we went to Japan to play a friendly match. They gave it to us with water. Remember? Good. So the interviewer asked the other, he said that the difference of times in Japan and Ghana, he said that when it is morning here, they are in the evening. So when they got there, the morning there was like an evening to them. So in fact, omo bona omo da. So you see that, you see, even though they are good, they can play well, because of the change of what? Atmosphere. They were subjected to the effect of atmosphere. So if a physical atmosphere can do that, how much more the heavenly what? Places. Remember, Ephesians said, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against these heavenly what? Places. And Paul also spoke about these heavenly places that spiritual encounters are what? Transacted. He said the things he saw there are things that cannot be what? Communicated. So follow me very well. Hallelujah. Therefore, if this physical atmosphere is a victim of this spiritual atmosphere, what mechanism, what instrument is being used to make this a reality? I want to announce to you that the instrument of spiritual disposition to have effect, atmosphere, have effect on this earth is music or sound. Very, very important. How God designed things to operate between the spiritual atmosphere and physical atmosphere is captured in the concept sound, which music is an expression of it. Are you with me? So now let's look at sound and music, because sound and music is a determinant or affect the kind of atmosphere spiritually that we are become victims of. So what is this sound and music? Sound is a very important matter as far as creation and God is concerned. Follow me very well. In fact, music, which is an expression of sound, originates from the very heart of God. Thus, God is the creator of music, not the devil. The devil never created music, and I'm going to give you two things that proves that God is the originator of music. And music is an expression of sound. So follow me. Now you understand why the prophet needed the minstrel. I'm going to show you. And today, by the time we are done, you are going to be very careful with the things you play around you, the songs you play. You will know that whatever you are playing, you are creating the atmosphere for it. Yeah, I'm going to show you. So number one, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 13, you find out that the Bible was talking about a particular angel who's an archangel. Now, archangels are head of a department of the angelic force. Now, there are three divisions of the angelic force. Let me give it to you. Number one, we have the warring angels, the angelic force that are into what? War. Michael is the head of that. So anytime you hear war in heaven, you hear that Michael and his angels what? Fought. Michael is in charge of what? Warfare. Are you with me? Now we have the working angels, angels who are responsible for work, healing, delivering of messages, all those things, they are in charge. The head of it is called, yes, you should know it, Archangel Gabriel. So you see that he's mostly in the act of delivering message. Do you remember that when the prince of Persia withheld him, he couldn't fight him? Because it was not in his nature at war. And it was Michael who came down, because that is what? His nature. And dealt with the prince. Then the third one, which is not mostly mentioned, is the worshiping angels. Now the worshiping angels were in charge of worship, sound, music. Now in Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 13, you find out that the archangel in charge of them, called Lucifer, his entire scope of makeup or builder was that timbrels were found in him. In fact, the three divisions of what? Music or sound component of the musical instrument were what was built with him. The wind, the strings, and the percussion. The Bible said all this is a captain in him. So the very angel who was in charge of music was designed such a way that his expression, just that when he stand alone and he opened his mouth, it was all about music out. That is the first proof that the devil, who didn't create himself, and the one who created him, that idea was the originator of what? Music. Do you get it? Second proof, Acts chapter 15 verse 16. Now, the concept of tabernacle was mentioned over here. Now, what is a tabernacle? When tabernacle was brought in the same in scripture, it was to replicate or mirror God's home on earth. So God told Moses to build a tabernacle which was a mirror or a replicate of what is in heaven, representing God's abode, where God what? Lives. You find out that the dimensions and everything were given to what? Moses. Now in the Bible, there are two kinds of tabernacle we can talk about. We have the tabernacle of what? Moses, and the tabernacle of what? David. Now you find out that the tabernacle of Moses was a very religious, quiet place. But the tabernacle of David, when they went back for the ark of God and they brought it into his tabernacle, the Bible said he appointed musicians who were playing music 24/7 at that tabernacle. A place of what? Music. Now in the book of Acts chapter 15 verse 16, let's read something over there. When Jesus was talking, the prophecy was talking about the kind of tabernacle he's going to build for himself. Which of the tabernacle did he choose? Moses or David's own? Acts 15 verse 16. Are you there? Hallelujah. Are you following? And after this, I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle of what? David, which has fallen down, and I will build its reins and I will set it up. God didn't say that he will rebuild the tabernacle of what? Moses. But the tabernacle of David, which was characterized by what? Sound, music. Celebration, music. That's what God said. He's going to rebuild when he comes back, the prophecy. That tells you that the actual replica of where God is, his throne, is a place where it is surrounded by 24-hour what? Noise. Sound, music. So, music and sound originate from God and not Lucifer. Let's stop crediting the world. You see, the devil didn't understand the power of it because he was in charge of it. So he's able to utilize it well. But the truth of the matter is that music originates from God. That is why no musician was gifted by the devil. Every musician in this world, being it secular or gospel, is being given by God. The gift and talent came from God. The only issue is that the devil traded it. The devil find a way to be able to exchange it, bought into the person's talent and utilize it. The devil never created that. All the ideas and everything is a talent. The devil just what? Take advantage of it. Hallelujah. So that is the first thing. Now, sound and creation have a very strong relationship. So the first thing I wanted to establish to you, we are still on the concept of the atmosphere. Are you with me? And I'm telling you that music, for us to understand very well, music is very connected to God, and God is the originator of music. Now, why is that so? Now, you find out that the concept sound, actually, the entire product of this world is a product out of sound. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Let's read. I'm shocking you here. The entire creation is a product of sound. Let's read. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The word of what? God. The key word is what? The word of what? God. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, the verse 3, what did you see God doing? And God what? Said. God did what? Spoke. Is that not it? So if the word of God framed the entire world, and that word was being spoken, it came out. That is a speech, right? What is the makeup of a speech? From all definition, we know that when you speak, it is a combination of breath, words, and sound. So when God said, let there be light, that word that came out was a combination of breath, word, and what? Sound. And that sound contributed to the light that came. Contributed to the world that was created. So the entire world, as it stands here, is a product out of sound. That is why atmosphere are victims of sound. Because the entire system is a product of sound. And because of that, do you know that anytime God or heaven wants to interfere in the affairs of earth or wants to visit earth, sound precedes. Acts chapter 2, verse 2. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible said there was what? A mighty what? Rushing wind. Then the Holy Ghost what? On the day that Jesus resurrected, what happened? The Bible said there was an earthquake and there was a wind and an angel. So anytime God will step into the earth realm to do something, sound precedes. That's how powerful it is. Because the whole ecosystem was built, is built on what? On sound. And I'll tell you why. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 11 to 12, the encounter of Elijah and God, the Bible said, and there was a fire, and there was a wind, but God was not in any of them. Do you remember that story? But a still small voice. So before God spoke, sound was created. Anytime God wants to invade the earth, sound precedes. Because the earth itself, or the whole creation that he built, was a product of what? Of sound. So it is sound that it responds to. You know, the language of the entire creation first is what? Sound. So whenever God wants to come, he needs that language to have access. That is why atmospheres are victims of what? Sound. Follow me. Today, I just want to make sure that you are... See, I could have just gone straight and explained, but there are certain things that we take them lightly because we don't understand the weight behind them. And one of them is music, sound. The what you are becoming as a Christian, it is an atmosphere. Very important. Hallelujah. Now, quickly. The reason why an entire creation is an expression of sound is because God intended to drive the pleasure of praise, which will be produced by the harmonious sound generated by his creation. In the book of Revelation chapter 4 verse 11, the Bible said, he created everything for his what? Pleasure. One of the pleasure God derives from creation is the harmonious sound that comes to him as praise. The intended purpose of God. You see, the throne of God is surrounded by praise. That is the worshiping angels. So when earth also has its own, you understand? That's how the throne works. So when God was framing the whole world, he had it in mind that when a sound is generated from this place, it adds up to what? The pleasure around his word, his throne. So if you read the book of Psalm 148, verse 1 to 14, you see how God listed every creation to praise him. Psalm 148. So the reason why the earth or creation, everything in creation, is subjected to sound, and that sound cannot be taken out of anything. Now, you can tell me that you see that there's no advert or anything that is done in this old damn music. True or false? Because God designed us that will give a harmonious sound that will come to him as what? As praise. Are we there? That is why from the morning to evening, throughout the whole day, you hear the birds, you hear the wind, you hear the sea, you hear the trees, you hear all the animals continuously releasing sound in harmony. Have you ever woke up in the morning that's rain and you hear the frogs? Hallelujah. How many of you know that? Then you hear the best. They are the odds. And you said if you pay attention, you can notice that there's some kind of harmonious sound that is coming out. Do you know what? God did that to put man into remembrance that the principle is that my praise is the sound that comes from the earth. And that is the intention and the purpose to which I created or I did my creation. That the pleasure, one of the pleasure I derive is that when those sounds come together harmoniously to me, they are praise unto me. That was God's intention. Hallelujah. That is why you find out that in Psalm 150 verse 6, let's read it, Psalm 150 verse 6. Psalm 150. Verse 6. What did the Bible say? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the whole reason why the earth is subjected to this whole thing is because praise is very essential. Quick one. Do you notice that this principle of why God created or the creation was subjected to sound is so dear to God that you know that when Jesus came on earth and men were trying to bluff God and they said that, oh, we will not praise God anymore. We will not let sound of melody comes out of us to praise Him. In the book of Luke chapter 19 verse 40, he said that if you men refuses to praise, you will command these tools. Because this earth is designed such that by its original performance, sound must come out continuously unto God to give Him pleasure. So sound is very important. And when God is also coming, because He created the entire world to be responsive to sound, when He's also invading, He introduced sound as a language that opens the system. Are you with me? Amen? Good. So sound is so part of the constitution of creation. Says that even the foundations of the earth, the foundations of the earth was laid by the sounds of what? The angels. When God was questioning Job in the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 7, he said, where were you? When the angels, the morning stars, he called them the morning stars, sank at the foundations of what? The earth. So if you think that sound is a little thing to take lightly. No. It's very powerful. And the first victim of sound is the atmosphere. Actually, atmosphere is where the whole thing happens. When sound, when the issue of sound what? Is raised. Hallelujah. Quickly. Let's move on. That's the original nature. Now listen to me. So therefore, the original nature of creation in God's arranged orchestra is God's arranged orchestra producing one sound of praise to Him, such that when this sound goes up as praise, the King comes down in His glory and dwells in the praise. So in Psalm 22 verse 3, can we read Psalm 22 verse 3? One very powerful scripture. Psalms 22 verse 3. But you are holy, enthroned in the praise of Israel. But you are what? Holy, enthroned in the praise of what? So the throne of God resides in what? In the praise of what? Israel. Because God's original intention is that His creation will bring out one sound as praise, and then His throne, because the throne of God is established on praise. And that's the product of what? Sound. Are you with me? If you read the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 5 verse 13 to 14, you find the same thing, that when the people worshipped and songs were lifted, God came down and invaded. That is God's original intention. What happened? However, the devil created what we call distortion and introduced into this God's perfect plan of sound. When Lucifer sinned, the darkness and everything that happened on the first creation brought about something called distortion. Distortion is that now the original sound that the whole earth has to produce as one has been disfigured by somebody singing off key. Have you been to church and a choir is singing, then somebody decided to give one very off key? Sometimes you feel like slapping a person. You go sit back. Are you there? That's what the devil did. He created one off key and inserted it into creation through the concept of what? Sin. Now, when God rearranged the earth and was able to do away with that distortion, and that he brought another man on earth, or another being on earth, which is man, to sustain the original production of sound as one praise, that one also decided to follow the path of the devil and created his own distortion. Therefore, God's original purpose for which sound must come together as one from earth to him has been distorted. Therefore, there are various sounds. Various what? Sounds that are produced. Are you with me? Now, not all sounds that are produced on this earth bring praise and worship to the Creator for him to come and dwell in it. Now, are you following now? So there are many sounds that are being generated, but not all the sounds that are generated now that is able to serve the purpose for God's original intention, praise, that he'll come and dwell in it because of distortion. So what happened next? First, we know that sound is part of the fiber of creation. Are you with me? And then sound is very powerful too, that God, in fact, used it in everything concerning this creation. So everything about us is producing sound. Now, this is what happened. Although there was distortion, one aspect of sound called music never lost its expression. So music, which is an expression of sound, still remained as an interface between the spiritual realm and the natural realm, which sank up the very layers of the physical atmosphere to that of the spiritual, which we call the heavenly, so that the spiritual realm can invade the earthly realm. What am I trying to say? Even though there was distortion, the very essence to which God created sound was not lost. And music was the one who possessed that. So what does it do? Music interface. Do you know an interface? I think I can use one as an interface. You see this screen? This is called an interface. Is that not so? The IT, is that not an interface? Oh, help me, IT, is that not an interface? Go. What does it do? It helps me to interact with what? This device. This is what music is. So, music or sound was meant for a point of interaction and engagement. Even though there was distortion, that was not lost. Music maintained its quality to provide what? That interface where the spiritual system or the spiritual realm, through the heavenly, which is the layers, are you following me, can still invade the earth without permission as long as there is what? Music. Therefore, when it comes to switching between realms or atmosphere, music is very key. Music can set an atmosphere, change an atmosphere, or maintain an atmosphere over a certain period to make it a climate. Let me give you a typical example. You see, you are here right now. If we turn on, oh, I am you. I'm giving you 1 minute to start crying right now. And somebody started crying. Do you know why? Sound is generated. And that sound that is generated is a music. It carries an interface that interacted with the atmosphere. And instantly, the whole atmosphere here is an atmosphere of what? Sorrow. But if I start singing some praise song over, give me one, and we start jumping here right now, in the next 3 minutes, you will see that atmosphere of sorrow that was here. Have you seen somebody who has gone to a funeral to cry and then move to a wedding and then go? Do I have a witness here? Do I have a witness here? See the power of music. You go to a funeral, in fact, you cry. Oh, But the woman, they are done burying the person. Even at that funeral, I like the guns. The guns, they are very strong. Guns. The moment they carry your casket, they change atmosphere. Now, it is hot. So, look, papa, they will party after your funeral. So, guys, if you mistakenly die in Ghana here, you will mistakenly celebrate your funeral. We don't observe. Guys, they celebrate funeral. They don't observe it. So, you see somebody who go to an atmosphere, by the help of music, the person realizes that this place is a place of soul. The same music will be used in a different place. Then the interface will switch. Then you see joy, happiness. That is the power. That is the quality that music has. And do you know the thing? When a particular music, kind of music, is maintained over a physical jurisdiction, a climate is created. That kind of things will happen over there. That is why if you go to a place like Las Vegas, what do we call that? The city of what? The city of sin. Call it the sin city. Do you know why? Because the kind of music that is released into the atmosphere is a climate. Are you with me? So when you go to a place that there is a particular kind of music that is played, if you like, try and go to the nightclub, just carry your tongue speaking, just go there. By 3 minutes time, you see that you start nodding your head, nodding, and you forget that you are anointed. Because a climate has been created. That's why when we come here, just a minute or two, we start to lift song to worship. It's not because the person may be too anointed, but sometimes there's a climate over this place. Because we have consistently used this place to lift up songs, play songs that create an atmosphere that calls for that. So the point is that music still sustains its quality to create atmosphere. Are you with me now? Now are you following me? So now you're getting why the prophet invited the minstrel. Now let's go there. Therefore, spirit-inspired music, because of the power music has to interface with two realms and switch, set, create, and maintain. Spirit-inspired music, I mean Holy Spirit-inspired music, is that sound that creates a habitation for God to come and dwell in it and take over a particular place at a particular time after man created a distortion on this earth. So when distortion came, the only thing sound that can bring God down for God to come and dwell in, God hears a lot of sound. Do you remember he told Moses that he heard the cries of the people of Israel? Did he come down? Eh? The Bible says he heard the cries of the people of Israel and he has seen it by sending Moses. But when Solomon and his priest lifted up a worship, the Bible said that he came down that nobody could enter again. Because Holy Spirit inspired music creates a habitation. He dwells in the praise. That is what brings out the praise. And that brings me to our second reading, Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. And today I'm going to disappoint all musicians that it is not gifts and skills that does this. This one is anointing. Because I didn't know. I don't know if it has been recorded in the book of Acts chapter 16, verse 25, that Paul and Silas were in a choir. But the Bible said, when they started singing, can we read it together? Acts chapter 16. Spirit-inspired music. Watch. Acts chapter 16. Are we all there? Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were out praying and what? Singing. Music was in play. Hymns to God. And the prisoners were what? Listening. So the prisoners were just enjoying. Yeah, some of them have been in prison for years. They have not had some kind of... But the Bible never spoke about how good their voice was. How come there? But what they were doing was that they were singing and what? Suddenly, there was an earthquake. God came in. The atmosphere was created for power to drop. The king came to habit in that place. And when God comes, do you know the Bible said he came with his host? Do you know what it means? Host of angels. That's when God descends, anything happens. So at that time, God descended. Anything that is, because whatever the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. So when God descended at that moment, anything that is a matter of captivity, God has to break it up. What brought it? It was singing, music, interface. Music. This is where the anointing for creating atmosphere comes in. Therefore, who is a minstrel? A minstrel is anybody who has the capacity, by relationship with the Holy Spirit, use musical strength to be able to bring God down into an climate, into an atmosphere. That's a minstrel. And when that happens, anything is possible in that atmosphere. Anything is possible in that atmosphere. Now, this art is achieved through vocals. So this musical expression can either be vocals, instruments, as the definition of music is. I know we all know what music is. Music is a vocal instrument or mechanical sound, having rhythm, melody, or harmony. That's music. Therefore, anybody who is able to bring God down, to take over an atmosphere at a particular time, is expressing an anointing called the atmosphere creating anointing. And this is where I establish it lastly, this anointing. David, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 18, the Bible said the spirit of God left Saul and the tormenting spirit came upon Saul. And they know that this is a matter of atmosphere, isn't it? So if we can able to change the atmosphere over this house, this demon cannot operate. So the king said, you should find someone who cannot use something that... So the belief in... That is how I said, that is why I'm very spiritual. He said, get a minstrel, somebody who is a good musician. And when the person play, the spirit upon the earth, the king will be lifted. Now, when they were looking for the person, who they said? He said, David, he's skillful, but though the Lord was what? With him, which is what? An anointing. So we need this kind of anointing because atmosphere, we are always victims of atmosphere. Don't get up and be playing anybody's song. You must look for spiritual songs. It's not about the voice. See, let me put this in this way. Skills enhance the anointing, but does it replace the anointing? We are in a time, in our generation, we are in trouble. We have many skilled people who are not anointed. So we will go to church and then we will go to a place. The atmosphere is so hard. I tell you, you will go to a place and you notice that the atmosphere is so difficult to penetrate. God is not there. We need what can break the atmosphere. We bring these people on board and all they can do is to show the one who has the best vocals. We must start crying for that anointing to start flowing out of our body. See, how many of you have had opportunity to be in churches like Pentecost and Apostolic? Anybody can lead worship. Have you noticed that? But at the time they are done leading the worship, prophecy is flowing, healing is flowing. How many of you, Cecilia Mafu, that she has, how many have listened to Cecilia Mafu? I remember very well, UCC. I think 2017, my final year. Then Gamsu brought her. We were there. All these guys, they came to minister. Oh, we were enjoying the music. They were here. Oh, boy! Everybody noticed that the whole place, the atmosphere changed. People ministered. People were standing and just shouting. When she said, Joe boy, we started calling for ushers. By the time she was done with that one, the kind of work she gave us that day to do. Somoje, she didn't sing only two songs, but Somoje no. God. That is why I knew that there's a minstrel and then there's somebody who's a vocalist. We are losing this because this is a very essential anointing in the church. Very important. And if we don't pray and believe God. See, we are the ones suffering. If the atmosphere is hard, you will suffer. As I said earlier, you are always a victim of the atmosphere you go. So if currently the kind of musicians, minstrels that are coming up, leaders, those who lead us in worship and praise, are not people who have the capacity to create that enabling atmosphere for us, we will struggle. So the Bible said, because, you know what? Because of the presence of the king of Israel, who was, you see, the Bible said that he did evil and the Lord was not with him. You see, because he was there, the atmosphere was already shut. So the prophet needed somebody to unlock the atmosphere for him to be able to what? Hear the mind of God. That was where the ministry came in. There are times we need to hear God, and that is where you have to look for that very spiritual music. How many of you have ever recommended to you that when something is going on in prayer or something, I told you to go and listen to you for Sunday? Today I've given you the secret why I say that. There are people whose voice carry that power to open atmospheres. They come with songs. You see, today, we don't have it all. The reason I'm saying that, God, we have few anointed songs that are coming into the system, two of us. I don't want to say something. But the reason is that these people are not able to connect. You see, if you become a watered garden, you will surely receive the sound of heaven. And that sound of heaven will come out as what? Songs. And when it comes, because it is the sound from heaven that has entered you and coming out, heaven will respond. So when people like Dusino Iken, they come out with a song. You see, when you start singing those songs, the first time I heard this song, Let Your Sound, it became my ringtone. I went the whole day because I don't know, the song was so strong on me that in fact, when I heard the song, Let Your Sound Fill This Room, We Are Temple, the moment I heard the song, I said, wow. When you hear song, father to child, from spirit to spirit, you know that this one, it is a watered garden. This sound, these words are coming from heaven, running out of a man, going back to create an atmosphere. When they come around and they start to minister, oh, I pray for you. You see, you are a victim of what you are listening to, the atmosphere you are creating. I said, not every song is gospel, even though it may have the name of Jesus in it. Some of you have to start looking at songs you have to listen to and look. See, I always recommend, if you have issues, go and listen to the miracle. If it is only hallelujah you hear, that hallelujah will do something. That hallelujah, it will do something. Till today, his songs are creating atmosphere for moves of God. You see, we must be sensitive to the things we listen to. Hallelujah. So, this is how this anointing is being bettered. This anointing is very crucial. Do you know how I'm talking about it so much? Without hating on the prophetic, I'm just going to run through the prophetic because that one, we have spoken about it over and over and over. So I'm just going to run through it. This anointing is what makes room for all other anointings to be effective. If the atmosphere creating anointing is not at work, all other anointings struggle. Healing, deliverance, preaching, teaching, you will struggle. You struggle. So, you see, your life must be responsive to a right atmosphere. When you go back to your room, create the right atmosphere over there. Make sure that the kind of sound that is produced out of your room is a sound that opens heavens. See, the reason why you are praying, you can't hear God. Have you asked yourself, what are the songs you have been playing? You are playing songs that has no anointing on it. When you want to worship, when you listen to some of the songs, you notice that none of these songs, where it's coming from, is heavy. May God help the church. Hallelujah. Quickly, I want to rush to the prophetic anointing because it was the two of them that brought out the delivery of God's message. What is the prophetic anointing? The prophetic anointing is the stream that also runs practically through all other streams. And what is the prophetic anointing? It is when you are able to buy into the mind of God and bring down what heaven has already sanctioned. That is all. When we buy into the mind of God and bring down what heaven has already sanctioned, that is where prophetic anointing is what? In place. So you find out that heaven already sanctioned that battle will prevail. In the realms of the spirit, water was already provided. But they didn't see it. They couldn't receive it. But when a prophet appeared on the scene, somebody who operated the prophetic anointing appeared. He was able to buy into the mind of God and he brought it into reality. That is the prophetic anointing. So a prophet is not the one who rattles, the one who is able to make sure that what is sensing heaven happens. So if I call you and I say that I saw, that God said this and that and that and that will happen to you. If indeed it's an act of the prophetic anointing, you will find out that there will be signs of the manifestations of the reality. That's how powerful the prophetic anointing is. Now, the prophetic stream of the anointing is very important, and it is very key that when we want to deal with it, we have to understand how we go about it to be effective. I said, concerning the prophetic, we have spoken about it over and over. So I'm not going to draw much here. I'm out to wrap up because the room is not comfortable for all of us. Now, to be effective in the prophetic anointing, you need to understand the realms of the prophetic flow and where the anointing fits perfectly. Not every realm of the prophetic flow is where anointing operates. There are three major realms of the prophetic flow. Number one, the Bible prophecy. The Bible prophecy is a realm where we are able to buy into the mind of God that is written in scriptures. Where eschatology, you know, there are people who are able to trace prophecy and bring them into a manifestation of reality. Now, do you know that the happiness that is happening right now around us the world is already in the Bible? And you know it's already in the Bible. Do you know there are prophecies in the Bible? What is happening right now in the Middle East? Happening now in our economy, happening around us. Do you know it's in the Bible? There's a realm that a person can go into the Bible and fish out all those realities and bring it to you and show it to you. That this and this and this is because it is here, it is here, it is here. So if we find out that Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, we saw the manifestation. What is the essence of that? You see, we need the Bible prophecy so that we can be able to prepare and be able to see. We will become like the sons of Issachar, who understand the times and know what Israel ought to do. Therefore, we have to have people who operate in that realm. See, that realm, it comes with an encounter, not necessarily an anointing. It's not an act of ministry, it's an kind of encounter that comes upon you. And with that, we are able to decode and break down that this happening, ABCD, can be traced. I like those kind of, I watch some of them on YouTube. And you understand where we are going to. That people are able to decode them. That is a realm. They don't say, I see that you're no, your name, no, they don't do that. But when they take the Bible, they can bring out. I think, is it this Indian prophet? What's his name? Prophet, is it Sankar? That is one. One of his realm is that when he takes the Bible, he's able to put it together and coordinate it for you to know that this is the times you are living in. That is the Bible prophecy realm. Those prophecies are sealed. Whatever you do, they'll happen. But the thing is that you need understanding when it is happening, how you can be able to what? Operationalize in it. That is the first realm of what? Prophecy. And in fact, it's one of the realms I really desire. That when you take the Bible and read the prophecies of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all these prophets, God will open my eyes. Then I can be able to face out the realities. Because I tell you, people are so deep in that. When you listen to them, oh God, it's a realm. Then we have the second realm called the spirit of prophecy. This is where the anointing operates. This is where the anointing is very effective. This is the place that Paul said the spirits of the prophets are subject to what? The prophets. This is our realm. Now, every believer should be able to flow in this realm by the help of the anointing. Why? Because this is the realm where prophetic gifts, such as word of knowledge, word of wisdom, descending of spirit, and prophecy operates. And this gift is available to everybody. This spiritual gift is available to all of us. This is the place of the realm of the prophetic that is serving as what? Ministry. Ministry. If you want to minister to people, then it is this realm that you're able to what? Minister to people, their needs, ministry, service. It is in this realm. Now, The typical way we call this realm by knowledge is that we call it the realms of what? Operation. The operations of what? Seeing and knowing. This is the realm where we see and what? We know. So when the prophet was called, he was able to see, and then he what? He knew what happened. There's a difference between seeing and knowing. A prophet of God. Is that not so? You can see, but you don't know. You can what? See, but you don't know. So this is why you are able to receive prophetic instruction by seeing and interpret it exactly how it's supposed to happen. They are two different things. You know the problem with many prophets in Ghana? They are not fake. The problem is they don't know what they saw. They saw war, but they didn't know because they did not understand. So these are places where we see and we know. This is the place that we see and then we what? We know. Then we are able to what? Take hold of the kingdom things through what? Gifts of prophecy, through descending of spirit, through word of knowledge, through what? Word of wisdom. And we are able to give the accurate application. Hallelujah. So this realm is what we decode God's mind concerning a place, an individual, or a jurisdiction. Prophetic anointing is an outflow of our engagement with God. So what you have, see, these gifts are over there. It is when God begins to use them, that is when anointing works. You see that you can be able, that's why you see that the difference between an anointed prophet and a gifted prophet is that a gifted prophet can see, but doesn't know. So he can call you. Oh, come. I saw that this and this and that and that and that. This and that, and then he'll try to force himself to know. And trying for him to force himself to know, he will give the wrong interpretation. That is a gifted prophet. The anointing is, you see, you already know what the anointing is. It's an overflow of what? A watered garden. But when God begins to water you, when you see, you know. When he speaks, he tells you that do this. You see miracles. You see happenings taking place. Hallelujah. The last realm is the office of the prophet. That is a destiny ordination. That one is not anointing. It is a calling, a training, an ordination, and a confirmation. Even though a person can operate in the spirit of prophecy realm, and the office have all these gifts working there. But you find out that somebody like Samuel in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3 prophesied. In fact, he had encountered, but he was not called a prophet. Until later on, he was said Samuel the prophet. The office is a destiny ordination. So our focus is rather on what? The spirit of what? Prophecy. In the spirit of prophecy, we can release God's mind and counsel through even teaching and preaching. Even through what? Music. We can release God's what? Mind. And with the gifts that operationalize in this realm is what I've mentioned. Now, we need this because God always wants to speak his mind to us. The Bible said the endless expectation of creation awaits the manifestation of what? The sons of God. Why? Because the sons of God are the ones who carry the counsel, the mindset of God. The question is, when people come around you, are you able to help them to decode what God is saying concerning their life? That is not the work of the prophet. That is the work of anybody who has the spirit of prophecy in him, which is the Holy Spirit. So the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophet himself. Now, I want to let you know that if you are here and you cannot be able to receive the counsel of the Lord for people, you are a suspect. You are a real suspect. Because it's a ministry that we are all being called to what? So if prophets say, let them what? Prophesy. So he said, we can all prophesy. We see in part. We prophesy in what? In part. Because we are all having the spirit of what? Prophecy living in us. And therefore, I pray for you today. When it is time that God is looking for somebody, that he will release a prophecy through, release his counsel, his mind through, may God find you and let it flow out of you in the name of Jesus. May God find you and let it flow out of you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I pray that God will help you to create the right atmosphere around you. And I pray that if you are a minstrel over here, if the expressions of the anointing upon you is that you are able to create an atmosphere through singing, I pray that let it double in the name of Jesus. I declare that we will begin to benefit from the streams of the anointing, just as the king of Israel benefited. The Bible said when the minstrel came and the prophet was there, the counsel of the Lord was delivered. And the Bible said in the following day, water from nowhere gushed out. And if you continue to read, the Bible said they went to the war and they prevailed over the Moabites. I pray for you in the times and in the seasons where you need the counsel of God, you need divine intervention. May your atmosphere never be dry. May God give you the element, the things you need to create the atmosphere that will constantly be supplying divine access unto you. And I declare that may God always send people with the ability to see and know. May you not encounter people who only see, but people who will see and know and speak divine words unto you and give you divine breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. I declare for you, you shall not lack because you are in the companies of prophets. And I declare unto you, at every given instant, you will not miss the counsel of the Lord for yourself. I declare that your atmosphere will never dry in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray that whenever you are in a trouble, you will say, oh, now bring me a minstrel. And bring me a minstrel. That is an atmosphere opener. And may God bring them around you. And may God also use you in the name of Jesus. Rest your feet as we close. Thank you, Jesus.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Lord.